his prowess in halacha and in the tremendous ideas HaTorah that he had, even while he's talking about inyanim that have a lot to do with hashkofa and with a certain perspective about Yiddishkeit, about tzedakah, about tmichas talmidei chachamim, and olam hazeh and olam haba. But b'vas achas, with all of that, he combines it with very heavy duty inyanim of halacha l'maisa, like in the sugyas of the eino d'makna dova shaloi boli olam, and so on. So you remember the maisa with the yo-yo. So the Ba'emison is that this tshuva is kemat a tshuva on that topic. So I'll just repeat it very, very briefly without the drama. Without the drama. Two little children, one had a toy, and the other one didn't have anything of any value with which he could buy that toy. It's almost a gather of loisachmoid, but would, you know, that you want something that badly. But he was a little boy, about 6 or 7 years old, and he offered all of the things that he had, and the person who had the toy was not interested. So he said to him, "Is there anything that I can give you in exchange that you'll give me the toy?" So he says, "Yeah, you give me your chelik and oilam abba." So he said, "I'm asking." So he sold his chelik and olam haba, not for a nezid adashim, but for a yo-yo, for a toy. So the question was, and many decades later, he came back and he said that he made a terrible mistake for selling his chelik and olam haba, and now that he's close to that moment when he needs it badly, he wants it back. So the person who had already matured into a major Talmud Chacham said the kinyan wasn't chal for many reasons. Cotton. Number one, the cotton is not a bar das to make kinyonim altogether. Number two, it's not something that lends itself to a kinyan. Olam haba is not a commodity. Number three, and this was all in his tainus to him, number three, that even if there wouldn't be an issue of das, and even if it would be a commodity, who says it's my commodity? You know, certain things, what we call non-transferable. I can give you something, but it's something that you can use. Your name is on it, your name is on the ticket, but not necessarily that you have the zechus and the bailus to be able to give that ticket to somebody else, because his name is not on the ticket. So, you know, I have a passport. So I own the passport, the piece of paper, the passport I own. Can I give you my passport and you'll get on the plane and go to a foreign country? It's ridiculous. It's my passport, because the purpose of a passport is to identify me and my trips and so on and so forth, and to prove that I am a naturalized citizen or a citizen by birth, whatever the case may be, of a particular country who issued me that passport. So what does this passport have to do with you? So just because I physically give you the passport doesn't in any way entitle you to the entitlements of the passport. V'chule, v'chule. Tickets, even on a plane, are not transferable, b'zman hazeh, for the simple reason that they want to make sure who mi v'mi'a olchim. So somebody says, I can't make it. I suddenly discovered that I have a bris that day. So I have a ticket. You take the ticket. It doesn't go. You have to cancel the ticket, and then if something's available, yeah, and somebody chaps that spot, you know, that split second, it's fa-fal. So there's certain things that are simply not transferable. So the question is, not about das, not a commodity. Even if it is a commodity, it's not transferable. And kulei, and the fellow says, begging him, Baba, for that second, give me back my chelik and oil, Baba. Sometimes love just doesn't help. You know, a person gets very agitated and excited. He wants to hear it the way he needs to hear it. So he finally said, okay, you could have the chelik back. So that made him happy. So this is really the shaila and the crux of the tshuva of the nitziv. And by the way, the nitziv points also to an arichus dvarim on the posuk be'er chafaru asarim that he has in his pirush on chumash. In the tshuva here, he refers to his pirush on chumash. In the Pirush al Chumash, you know, it's basically called Ha'amik Dover. But on the bottom of the Ha'amik Dover, there's even more elaborate detail about certain points called Harchev Dover. So in the Harchev Dover, on the Pasuk, Be'er Chafaru Asarim, he speaks about this inyan as well. What is the inyan? The inyan is, and he has this very beautiful mashal, l'saber sa'ozen, to give a person an understanding of what he's trying to say. He makes a very interesting chiluk, and it's a critical yesod in Olam Haba to the extent that we know a little bit about it. You know, Olam Haba, even more than Yemais HaMashiach, we really have no hasaga. Number one, because we don't have that much information about it conveyed to us in our Masaira. And number two, and that's the biggest problem, that our kalim of understanding are rooted and anchored completely in the gashmius of our perceptions. Our senses are meant for gashmius. Our senses are not meant for ruchnius. So maduch, we can't perceive ultrasonic sound or infrared light, kalvachomer, that we can't perceive something where gashmius doesn't even play a role. That's why the Rambam, whenever he speaks about the Arab perception of Olam Haba, he mocks them so. You know, this idea that, you know, all these martyrs, Rachmanu Litzlan, that wreck such havoc, so was zogt man ze zu? Not that they should sit and learn the Quran and be nan and be ziv hashchina, you know, with the biggest talmid chachamim in the Quran. No, they give them things that they have a bigger geschmack in, you know. But we understand that the chmamish, the gas, the litzanis in the Welt. You know, with a litzanis you can make chor of the world. It's amazing. With such a promise. It's the chmamish, the gas, the tipshus in the Welt. It gives a person pause. But in any case, when you don't have the kalim, because we work with our senses, and that's what creates our common sense perceptions. You talk to a mathematician, he speaks about 5-dimension space, 10-dimension space, 100-dimension space. That's all numbers. It's a geometry that we can't relate to. We work in a space that we can touch and feel. So kal v'chomer that we can't have any hasaga in Olam Haba b'chlal. But in spite of all of that, we do have some information that is a babua de babua, a pale reflection of something that we really can't understand. But from that, in the not being able to understand it, there's some hierarchy of ideas. So one of those hierarchy of ideas is that there are levels of Olam Haba and connections to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are different one than the other. And there are dargis, like tiers. So the Netziv relates to that very, very much. Before we get to the Netziv, I wanted to point out something to you. And this is very important, and it's not in any way a statement about anything. It's not a value statement. I just want to make an observation. And the observation is this. You have two brothers that were the son of the king, and the king saw that one of them is very mukhshar in Yonei HaMelucha, and he has a special, you know, quality of personality, and he kept that son next to him to watch and to observe. The other son had a tremendous talent for Melchama, for business. He was a Chevraman from childhood. So he sent that son out into the world. The son that went out into the world soon forgot that he's a prince and that he's Royal Melucha. He did a tremendous job. He was a Meiridika warrior, and he was a terrific businessman. When he came home, after many years, and the king was already getting old, there was now a question who to make king. This one says, I know all the taksis say Amalkus. The other one says, I'm a man of the world. I know the world. I know how to fight. And each one made a claim to the Malchus. So the king was perturbed. There can only be one king, and they're both shaykh to the parsha in their own way. But the question is who to make king. So he was walking into the palace. The king himself was walking into the palace with some members of his entourage. And the son that was trained in Malchus the Gemahalach, was walking by, and everybody instinctively bowed down to him. They showed their respect. The other fellow, smoking a big fat cigar and dressed like a shtickle, like a hoodlum, walked by and nobody even noticed that he exists. Hataravega gave the malchus to the Melchin. He gave it to the first one. So the one tried Chai V'Kayim. He says, Enochanami, you have a lot of prowess and everything, but all those years that you weren't in the malchus mode made of you a bulvan. And a bulvan can't be a melech. A bulvan meaning a ruffian, a rogue. You're a man of the street. A man of the street cannot be a melech. You don't know how to be a melech. You'll come into the palace, and the first thing you'll do is take out a cigar, put your feet on the table, and snore. And snore in your sleep. You understand? So you can't be the melech. What's the nimshel? It's basically a rough nimshel, but it's a nimshel just the same. You have a person, he's sitting in yeshiva and he's learning, and you offer him an opportunity as follows. You'll become a tremendous gvir. I give you a promise. You'll become a tremendous gvir, and you'll support Torah all over the place. But in the process, you will never become a significant Talmud Chacham. Maybe you'll know how to read a little Gemara here and there, but you won't become a Talmud Chacham. Alternatively, I give you another choice. You'll become a massive Talmud Chacham, one of the Gedolei Yisrael, but you'll be poor as a mouse, and you won't be able to help anybody else financially. You'll be lucky if you manage on your own. So one of them takes one option, and the other one takes the other option. 50 years later, one of them is a tremendous supporter of Torah, and the other one is a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Now, they both go to the Olam Ha'emes. My question is, where do they go? So the massive Talmud Chacham definitely goes to some place connected to Kivei, Gechveis, whatever, on some level over there, and he's talking and learning on that level that we don't understand what it really means, because again, we're in Gashmius, but he goes and he's connected to that Madrega. I want to know, where does the other one go? Now, there are all kinds of tzaddikim, and they have all kinds of compartments. But Kivega, the average person who's a Shomer Torah mitzvahs on a high level, does not go to Reb Kivega's Madar. No, he does not. He can't, because he's not shaykh to that parsha of Tais. Or, maybe not. The zuchus of the Tmichas HaTorah that he got, so even though here you couldn't ask him a shayla, and if he asked him shat in the Tosfos, he wouldn't be able to tell you. But nevertheless, in the Olam Ha'emes, when it comes to the schar of Torah, maybe he gets a matana that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards him with that capacity, that whatever it means that the neshama is Isaac in the Dvar Hashem, in the Olam Ha'emes, he gets that level that he could also sit with the Kiveger, or whatever level he's supposed to be on, based exclusively on his support of Torah. So I'll give you a shtickel analogy before we enter into the Netziv here a little bit. There is an extraordinary, and I would use the word extreme, position of the Baal HaTanya in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Hilchus Talmud Torah in his Kuntras. And that position is that you're not allowed to forget anything that you learn. In the Chazal that says Kilu Mischai Benafshoy, the Chazal that says Hisham Lecho Shmo Nafshecho Pentishkach Esadvarim Ashero Einecho, he takes this extremely literally, and he says, "What's the Nafgamina Lemaisa LaHalacha?" Very simply, let's say that a person has a limited capacity to understand Torah, and therefore, even after he understands it, he can't retain it so well. And it takes him a long time to learn something, and he has to chazer and chazer and chazer to keep it in his pocket. Otherwise, urva parach, it flies out of his head, and it's ke'ilu, he never learned it. Says the Baal HaTanya, let's take a very concrete example. A person learns Baba Kama, Dav Beis Amid Aleph, Beis Amid Beis. By the time he's learning Dav Dalid, he completely forgot what he learned on Dav Beis. Since you're not allowed to do that, between the time that he learned Dav Beis and he's about to forget it, he must first chazer Dav Beis so that he keeps Beis going. It's very easy, without wasting our time, to extrapolate and realize that the more he has to chazer, the less he can learn nu. Until finally he will reach a point, because there are only 24 hours in a day and people are doing other things as well. So the maximum you have maybe is 12 hours a day. That even if he learns mamish 12 hours a day, he will not be able to retain the past unless he stops completely learning anything new. Because at certain point, whether he gets to Daf Chof in Baba Kama, or whether he finishes Baba Kama and he's ready for Baba Metziah, but there's going to come a point that for not to forget anything at all, he is going to have to chazer and chazer and chazer and chazer, and the time will be up, and he will not be able to learn anything new. So Torah Matahei Olela, you could ask about him also. So what's going to be with the rest of the Torah? Says the Balatanya, his chelik in Torah, because he's not allowed to forget, is whatever he can retain. And if it takes the time to chazer, so be it. And his chelik of Torah is Baba Kama till Daf Nun. This one's chelik in Torah is Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, Baba Basra. And so on and so forth. So vos v'tzayin mit azah mensh. So he says that in Olam Haba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mashlim the Torah that he's missing, because he had to chazer and chazer and chazer, and he didn't waste any time. So it's a me'ain such an idea that I'm asking B'nai the Toimech Torah, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply give it to him? Even though he did not acquire it, and he did not reach any significant level of learning here in this world, because that was his activity, that he was a Zavulun to a Yisachar and so on. So the Netziv has a very interesting approach over here, which is based on the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Nun Gimel. I'm not going to read it verbatim, because it's going to take too much time. But everyone knows a little bit of that Gemara. Ezeh Dorash Tudus Ishraimi. Tudus had a drasha which was a Kal V'chaymer, a famous Kal V'chaymer. How is it that Hananya, Mishael, V'Azaria jumped into the Kivshan Ha'esh? I mean, after all, they could have been burnt to a crisp. And they made a Kal V'chaymer from the Tzfardeya of Mitzray. That they went into the Tanur, and they, you know, into the burning Tanur. So Rabbi Yossi Reb Ovin says the following. Mamatu Malai Lekis Shal Talmid Chacham was who this Tudus was. Because the Gemara wants to know, this Tudus that makes this Kal V'chaymer, was he an Adam Choshuv? Or was he Baal Agroifim? Was he a ruffian? A troublemaker? I say that troublemakers can from time to time make a Kal V'chaymer also. But about Gavra Rabba Havi, reminds us of the famous Gemara in Gittin, by Rabbi Yosef Gavra Rabba, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yosef, and he says, Yonasan b'ni ma'alaymer, Rabbi Yosef b'ni ma'alaymer, right, b'pilegesh b'giva. But here they ask the same question about Tudus. The one who made this Kal V'chaymer, what kind of a person was he? We don't know who he was. Was he a Ish Raimi? So who knows what was going on over there? B'kitzah, was he a Gavra Rabba or a Baal Egroifin? Egref, you know, Lahaka is by Egref Resha. Anyhow, Rabbi Yosef Reb Ovin says that he was a person who supported Torah, right? And then he quotes a Chazal that Kol Amatu Malai Lekis Shel Talmid Chacham Zoyche V'Yoshev B'Yeshiva Shel Malo. Interesting lashon. Zoyche V'Yoshev B'Yeshiva Shel Malo. It doesn't say Zoyche L'Olam Haba. It doesn't say even that he's Zoyche to get Schar B'Olam Haba. It says explicitly Yoshev B'Yeshiva Shel Malo. Now Yoshev B'Yeshiva Shel Malo means that he has the Shaykhus to learning. That's the point. In the Yeshiva Shel Malo. Not Zoyche B'Yeshiva Shel Malo like a Goylem, and he feels miserable that he doesn't have a connection to any of the Talmidei Chachomim, because otherwise what is Zoyche? That's not a Zuchus, that may be a Shtikl Gehenim actually. To be in a place where everybody else is Beseder, and you feel like a chicken in the during Bnei Adam. In Yiddish, it's an expression, Ahon Bnei Adam, during Bnei Adam. You know Bnei Adam? Bnei Adam, Yoshev Chayeshev Talmavis, Asir Ono Basil. You know when we say that? By Kaparis. You know what the matzav of the chicken is by Kaparis? That's the way the person feels if he doesn't know what's coming, he's coming or going. So you say he's like Ahon Bnei Adam in Yiddish. He's like a chicken in the middle of Bnei Adam when he's being twirled around the head. So this person is sitting in the Beis Medrash and he's a goylem. He feels terrible. Listen, we all have that feeling. If you knew how many times I had such a feeling, you wouldn't believe it. Aber lemaisa, we all have that hergish. Sometimes I have a hergish. I look at a piece of the Pirush Hagra and the Safed Tznius of Atme Finstafa Da'ikn. I don't understand one word of what he's talking about. And you have to harve and harve and harve yoim and valayla and kulihai v'ulai. And then sometimes I see Reb Kivega makes a cheshbon, ahin and a tzarik and ahin and tzarik, and I'm holding my head like this, and I'm afraid that it's going to explode. And you feel pashut ignorant. You feel miserable. And each person has on his madrega that hergish from time to time. Imagine somebody sitting there in a yeshiva shalmala and a whole day and a whole night, keilu, whatever this man is over there, he feels that way perpetually. So thought the gust to Gehenna. So obviously when it says Zoycha v'yoyshev v'yeshiva shalmala, what is Zoycha v'yoyshev v'yeshiva shalmala? That it's a positive thing. If it's a positive thing, then obviously he has a shaykhus to it. But he's matal malai l'kisle shel Talmud Chacham. It doesn't say that he sat and learned the whole day. And Reb Avin doesn't describe to the Shishraimi that he was a massive Talmud Chacham who happened also to give support to Torah. You know, sometimes you have that. You have some, the Beis Ephraim was a gvir. There are people, sometimes Talmud Chachamim who are gvir. Not every Talmud Chacham. Like, you know, one out of every couple of thousand is a gvir. So Lemaisa, there is a Talmud Chacham who's a gvir too. He doesn't say that he was a Talmud Chacham. He says his saving grace, his quality was that he supports Torah. But nevertheless, he's Zoycha v'yoyshev b'yeshiva shalmala. So the Nitziv wants to be masbir, what is this all about? So he says like this. And it says, B'tzeil ha-chochma, b'tzeil ha-kosef. If you support Torah with your kesef, then you remain in the shadow of Chochma as well. The Kosha Li, he asks, Hakmoisha Moichiach, the lav el Balagroifim, who mid the Dorash, right? Hakinam Yeshloichiach, Shaloiho Yosha Baalmo Nadiv, the Mal Osha Hedyot, Lidrish Barabim, Elevada Yodam Godelhavi. He says he doesn't understand why you have to explain who he is. If you see that he darshened something and Chazal repeat what he said and he made a kal v'chomer, so obviously by definition he must have been an Adam God. I mean, so I would have said that this is a raya from the Gemara that even a janitor can amol zog na good vot. The person sitting in the Beis Medrash, you know, the famous Maisa that he switched places with the Balagola. And then they asked him, you know, he looks like a big Talmud Chacham, but he doesn't know anything. So he says, this Kasha, even that's nothing. Ask my Balagol, even he could answer it. You know, that famous Maisa. The truth is, you have sometimes, I encounter this all the time. Some of the most beautiful Divrei Torah, some of the most exciting thoughts are said by people who don't know Baba Kamo Vimsiba Babasu. But the Nitziv is bothered by this. And that's the thing, you're quoting a Chazal, and they are quoting his Chazal, you know what I mean? They're quoting his Kal V'chomer in the Gemara. So what are you asking what kind of a person he was? So he says like this, Mitchila Yesh Lehovin, right? He says, you don't need Kol Hamatul Malai. Everybody knows that if a person is Mesayeya La'ovrei Aveira, says the Mishnah Makkos, he gets punished like the Ovrei Aveira. If he's kal v'chomer mida toiva meruba mimidas peronius, that if he's mesayeya la'osem mitzvah. So if a person is supporting Torah is mesayeya la'osem mitzvah, so that mitzvah of supporting Torah is a tremendous thing. I don't need Rav Ovin's Torah kol hamatul malai. So he says exactly what we said before, that we have to be medayik in what the reward is. Because when an Isa mitzvah gets reward, he gets schar. What schar in Olam Haba is, we don't fully understand. Because it's not like the Muslims think. That's the point. But whatever schar that is, it doesn't necessarily, says the Netziv, guarantee that you'll be yoshev b'yeshiva shel ma'ala, meaning that you belong to the club that's sitting there and is oisik b'torah. And if you feel like a total stranger, then obviously, as I said, that's a shtickel gehenim, that's not a plus. So what Rav Oven is being mechadish, it's not that there's going to be schar for such a person. For that, you don't need Rav Oven. Avada supporting Torah gives you schar in Olam Haba. But the kind of schar is that you're shayach to the parsha of the loin de Torah because you supported Torah. This is what he's being mechadish over here. So he says like this. He has his own mashal. He says that there are two kinds of rewards that a king can give to a person. For example, he says somebody did him a taiva, so he wants to be mechabed him, so he gives him a medal or whatever it is. So the person doesn't have to have any particular madrega to wear the medal. He walks around with a medal, he has a plaque on his wall, and gemarnu. Sometimes it happens that the king has a benefit from somebody, and he elevates him to a higher position of rank because of it. So now he says, L'moshel, I'm going to have a person that did me a tremendous taiva, so I'm going to make him a general. So I make him a general, and of course he goes out, there's a Russian story, a Russian famous Russian moshel. So he says, you know, about the incompetence of the big shots in Russia. So they had one of these people who was given a job as a gift by the Tsar, and he became a general. Mamish dis maisa, like the Netziv. So he becomes a general, and he's touring the soldiers. So he sees that they're shooting at a target.
Target practice.
Oh. So he sees one guy, he didn't get the bullseye, he got around the rim somewhere. So he says, that's how you shoot? Let me show you how to shoot. So he takes the gun, he shoots, and he kills one of the soldiers. Because he's totally incompetent. He never held a gun in his life. So he says to him, that's how you shoot. Now show me how you're supposed to shoot. That's the Russian meiser. So the pshat is, the king may want to reward him to become a general, and he can put him on his uniform, and he can give him all his stars and his medals and all thing. But l'maisa, if he doesn't know any taksisei milchama, it's a disaster. It's meaningless and it's a disaster. And if chas v'sholom he tries, then who knows what could happen to the malchus itself? So pashteitzak, that there are certain rewards. This is the point of the netziv. There are certain rewards that if you give it, it doesn't affect anything because it's simply a matana. But, and the person is already shayach to it, because everybody's shayach to a plaque or to a nice covered. It doesn't make any difference. But there are certain rewards that you have to be mukshar v'roi l'kach, otherwise the reward can't possibly happen. You can't make an average person a general just because you declare him to be so. Because he has to have the qualifications. So that's what he says here. Ein kein zuchus hasheni, he means making him a general. Ein kol adam yochel lekablo. Sharei sar hatzava nidrash liyos melumad, ubal eitza utvuna, uba asifa tzorei hatzava lis yashiv be'eze in yonochutz, v'chol echot mechavet daite lifnei hamelach. I mean, you're talking about a person of great prominence. He has to have the kelim. Umishu be'emes adam poshut v'im yale, and if he's lifted to that madrega ligram mai lasar hatzava u'ba'asifas hasorim hu yoshev v'doimeim, that's the example that I gave you, that he sits there, doesn't have the slightest idea of what they're talking about, can't possibly make a contribution, and they're talking about this strategy, that strategy, this maneuver, that maneuver, and Arvei Safilinish was the Lashon, is he doesn't know what they're talking about, b'chlal. So he says, Ein lucha halo yisba koloin mea kovoid. All he's going to get from the kovoid that the king wanted to give him is busha v'cherpa. So he says, "V'im kein ene yochel lekabel schoroi ulis anig olav elam ma oisa hamelach birit soynoi." So this is what happens if the melech, in fact, wants him to be. He wants so badly to reward him with the davar shel mamish that he must have that he should become a general. Escape them and let them. You did me such a toiva, you saved my life. What am I going to give you a plaque to hang on the wall? You saved my life. I want to make you big. So the only eitzah that the king has, says the Netziv, is to send them to West Point. so to speak. He has to give him enough training that he's at least shayach to the parsha of Sar Tzava. May not be the greatest general in the world, but he has to be shayach to the parsha. Until he becomes mukshar. The im, right? What am I sending him for 2 years to West Point when other people are training and training and training and training? And lachatkila, they may have had special qualifications, a certain kind of genius that allows them, you know, not everybody becomes a MacArthur, you understand. It's not so pushed. At least he's part of the club. He may be the junior most member, but he's shayach to the parsha enough that there's no busha and charpa, and he hangs around big people. Kach may ein ze hevdel schar mitzvus mischar Torah. So even though we don't know anything really about Olam Haba, but the Netziv is teaching us that there's this Yisoid based on the idea that Tzadikim Yoshvim Matroseim Berosheim V'Nenim Miziv Ashchina does not mean everybody Shavah B'Shavah. So he says, Schar Mitzvahis Hu Ke'ein Zuchutz Ish Medini V'Chol Yisrael Yecholim L'Kabloi Masha'enkin schar ha'Torah who yoshev b'yeshiva shalmala. That's his medactic in the Lashon of Rav Ovin, why that's different from the Lashon in Mishnah and Makkos. And he says, therefore, to sit in yeshiva shalmala, you can't just sit like a goylem, because ein lecha busha v'cherpa g'doylem izu. U'misha ein roi lekach, ein oi efshel lekabel zehatayna garuchni. U'ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu oise. So he says an amazing thing here, that a chelek of the reward of a person is that oid b'chayov, he gives him a koyach halimud. It's a pile ployim. I mean, if it wouldn't be netziv, I can't imagine that so many people are ami aretz, don't know a word of Torah, no shaykhus whatsoever to anything, and they're mefarnes Torah. Somebody became a Baal Tshuva late in life, or some Rav inspired him, even if he's not such a big tzaddik, and he does tremendous things, gives millions to yeshiva. So the Netziv is telling me that such a person, without any hakshara, is not going to be yoshi b'yeshiva shalmala, because he's not shaykh to the parsha in this world at all. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reward him. It's a peledik ezach. What happens if a person doesn't learn any Torah in this world and doesn't have any matonis to give, but he writes in his will that I don't like my sons, they're all bums, and they never took care of me, and I don't feel like giving my money away to the ASPCA, so therefore there's a yeshiva across the street, let them have it. I like the way the boys look, they look edel, they look nice. So he gives millions of dollars to the yeshiva. So what's with such a person? When did he ever have a chance that the Netziv is talking about? But it says here, Kolamato Malai Lekisa Shal Tamad Chochem Zaycha V'yoshe B'yeshiva Shalmala. And if yeshiva shalmala means you have to be shayach to the parsha, how does it ever get off the ground without the Netziv's Torah? But whatever it is, the Netziv said it. Just like the Melech makes you go to West Point for a year or two, because otherwise you won't be shaykh altogether to sit together with the soldiers and the generals. So b'oid b'chayev ezekoyach limud achla yizba kolim b'yoysel acha moysa yoysha b'shiva shalmala. Because the hella the matel malai yoychana kikisa shaltam et chokham zoycha b'yoysha b'shiva shalmala meyata tudus ha'av shaloy hoya adam godl b'tayra. So the Netziv here says an unbelievable thing. He says that from this Kal V'Chaim already makes you mukshar, so maybe it is shayach. That people who support Torah, whether we know it or not, I'll tell you something interesting. It's kedai to pause for a second. It's not a story, it's a mitzias that I encountered. Before the Art Scroll Megemaris came out, so there was a translation before that, the Sansino, but the Sansina was a very, very difficult translation, and most people couldn't relate to it at all. And certainly it didn't have the Achavas Bio of the Rishonim, but to some extent at least, that the Ha'aris in the Art Scroll Gemara. Anyhow, someone shatchened me. I did somebody a taiva that I started learning for a certain tkufa with a balabas. And this balabas was a very sharp businessman, and apparently the fellow that I was being mahana had benefits from him. And I did this fellow a taiva that I was masking to learn because it went to the credit of that Talmud Chacham. And he was getting support from this rich man. So I started learning with him. He doesn't know it's Surah Aleph Mamish. I don't think he can read a Pasuk Chumash with the dots. Kal v'chayme ben b'nai shel kal v'chayme ashtikl gemola. But the Art Scroll had already come out. So I tell him, I want you to do the following. Forget about what it says on this on the side of the Lashon Kodesh of the Aramaic. You just read it in English, prepare it, see if you can manage some of the footnotes, and come back to me next week, and we'll start Baba Metzia. Baba Metzia, Shnai Meichsim Betalis Ein Kleinikai. Even Rav Soloveitchik was afraid to learn Shnai Meichsim. Anyhow, he comes back. A fish in Vasa. I never saw anything like it. It blew my mind, as they say in the colloquial. It blew my mind. The man was fighting with me about a Rajba, and he's fighting me, what's the pshat in this Tosfos? Tosfos never saw the Tosfos in life. Can't read the Tosfos. He cannot read the Tosfos. That the Teretzes of Agvaldika Gutta Kapata Gahat. Meridik. And this is Taka his thing. It's not Tumah V'Tahara, and it's not Chometz Mepesach. You understand? It's business. In one way or another, it uses that kishrin. So I was thinking to myself, he's Taka big time Mechtaira, and I'm a Oretz Gomor. As he say, as the expression goes, and I'm a Oretz Midaraisa. In his particular case, Midarabonin also. But that Blat Gemara satisfies the Nativ. That session that I had with him satisfies the Nativ. If you can darshan a Kal V'Chaymer, it doesn't say here that he darshan 5,000 Kal V'Chaymers, or that he said 100 Divrei Torah, of which we are referring to one of them. From the Nativ's perspective, it's Higenug Azad Gahata Tadem Kal V'Chaymer. Because we don't, listen, we don't know B'chlal what that's all about altogether, that he has to be part of the club and so on. So if it's enough, the Kal V'Chaymer, then maybe it's enough that one session. If that's the case, then maybe the Nitziv will argue that every time the Chazal of Matul Malai L'Kisei Shal Talmid Chacham Zoycha V'Yoshev V'Shiva Shal Mala applies, that indeed, in one way or another, at one point or another, the person that we are talking about in Olam Hazeh had some moment of Chidush HaTorah, of Yediyas HaTorah. Could be. So he says, "May ata tudus ha'afshaloi oyo adam gadol b'toyer mekom mekom hetzilo Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'chayiv Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave him a matana that he should be able to darshan this kal v'chomer mitzvadeim kedei shelo yehibosh b'shiva shalmalo kvar be'arnu b'harchiv dover al aposuk be'erch haparu asorim." That's what I told you. Karu in the divei on b'mechokik mishanoisa v'loyoyt v'afila achas shehelo Rabbi Yochanan damato malai. That is the opposite, that he gets the punishment. If you help the Oysa Mitzvah and you facilitated it, you get the schar like the Oysa Mitzvah himself. And then he says, "V'hadas noisein alze shahamisubim v'yoshvim im hamelech lo yeshivasei shalze doimel yeshivasei shalze." He says, when they sit with the melech, some people sit next to the melech, to the right and to the left. Some sit in the back, some sit on the corner, some sit on the other side of the room. So he says, when you're yoshev b'mesiba shel malchus, not everybody is the same. The sar and the nichbad kol agodol mechavera is closer to the melech. What it comes out from all of this, the Nageya, our original question, is very fascinating. We already heard before that there may be a difference between what and what in the previous year. Between somebody who's giving support to Talmidei Chachamim, Stam, and there he does not get the reward of the Talmud Chacham because he doesn't get his chelik in Torah, and a person whose support for the Talmud Chacham is ach verak that the Talmud Chacham should be able to learn, and without his support, the Talmud Chacham won't be able to learn. So if that's the case, then maybe we could still be mechalik, that Gemara which says, matal malai l'kiso shel Talmud Chacham, says he puts some money into his pocket, doesn't necessarily mean that he gets his entire support from him. If that's the case, he still needs others, or he still needs to fend for himself to some extent to survive the Talmud Chacham I'm talking about. So Memela, that person not going to get his chelik in Torah. Memela, he's not going to sit equally with him in the olam, in the yeshiva shomal. Where is he going to sit? The answer is like a golem? No, that can't be. So the answer is he'll sit in the corner, but he'll know what's going on a little bit. He'll feel comfortable there. So the Netziv comes out the following. If we amalgamate what the Netziv said with what we said last time, we come out with the following. An oisem mitzvah ba'alma gets schar. Schar, whatever schar ba'olam haba is. But it does not incrementally make him shayach to the parsha of Limud HaTorah in any way whatsoever. A person who's matal malai l'kisa shel Talmud Chacham is zoicha that in this world he gets some connection to Torah in such a way that he will be able to sit b'yeshiva shalmala. A person, if we are allowed to go further, I'm not saying that the Netziv says this, but if we are allowed to go further, then we'd say if a person supports the Talmud Chacham to such an extent that he makes the difference, whether the Talmud Chacham can learn or not, then he has actually a chelik of Torah reward, that he has that Torah level, but olam haba. Of course, when you think about it for a minute though, after I just said it, can it really be so based on the Netziv's Yesod? Because the Netziv's Yesod is saying that you have to be shayach to something on some level to belong, to be in the room, to be in that base medrash of Yeshiva Shamala. But he never said that at some point the reward is so great that you become another Reb Kiva Eiger in the Yeshiva Shamala. Because his whole thesis is that if you have the goods, you have the goods. And if you don't have the goods, there's nothing you can do about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? If there's a possibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply gives you that Madrega and Olam Haba b'matana for something that you did, then all of his calculations aren't Mukhrach. Because then it's possible that if a person's matul malai l'kisa shel Talmud Chacham, even though he's not shayach bechlal to the parsha of Reb Kiva Eiger, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll make you Reb Kiva Eiger anyhow. Man de yoyev chaya yoyev mezoyne, man de yoyev mezoyne l'Talmud Chacham, is ani noisen loyev Kiva Eiger's mind in Olam Haba. Or whatever that means. So I think that the Netziv, if he's consistent, may not say that the level of Torah learning becomes yours at the point where you're totally responsible for that Talmud Chacham's Torah, because you support him in such an extraordinary way, in such a total way. Maybe not. Maybe the most you can get, if beyond what you were zeicha in your own Torah, is the ability or the zuchus to sit be yeshiva shalmala.
But why can't you get this halachah that you supported? Is there, you know, the Reb Kiva Eiger, Reb Kiva Eiger doesn't have Moshe Rabbeinu, etc. But why can't you just get that person's Torah? Wherever level he is, not Reb Kiva Eiger.
I'm not saying you can't. And I mean, you know, we don't, but I'm saying that What I'm saying is that the way the Netziv sets up his binyan, he has a certain point of view. And I'm asking if his point of view would be able to tolerate this notion. Now, you remember that at the beginning of the tshuva, so he has this idea of Shevna and Hillel, and what's the difference between them and the others. Remember that?
Yeah.
So he says that if a person takes schar altogether for learning Torah, right, it depends why he's taking schar. If he's taking schar to accumulate wealth, and in exchange he wants to sell his Torah, so that's a terrible thing. If, however, he's desperate and he's impoverished, and without that he won't learn, so when it comes to the point where you either learn or don't learn, depending upon whether you take, then of course you can take. Now he said, what's the story of the Gemara in Saitok, Shimon, Achi Azariah, and Hillel and Shevna? So he says, Shimon and Achi Azariah and Rabbi Yochanan, not our Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan the Bein Nasiya, they were not able to withstand the poverty that they might have been in without the support that was given to them. So in their particular case, when they took so that their Torah could prevail. Hillel was on such a madrega of Mesiris Nefesh, for Torah said the Netziv, that even if he was poor and remained poor, it would not interfere with his ability to learn Torah. Memela, he says, that in such a person who is anyhow going to learn, so he taka can't take altogether, because his taking the money doesn't make the difference between learning and not learning. That was the Netziv's Torah. So I'm asking, in those cases where the person is responsible for learning or not learning, what is that person's madrega in Torah now that the Netziv has said what he said? That's what I'm asking. Schar avada gibis he gets. Can the Talmud Chacham who needs it to learn take? He already said yes. But I'm asking not whether the arrangement is acceptable. I'm asking, what is the reward of that arrangement? Is the reward of that arrangement a level of Torah which the person is not shayach to at all? Or is it simply that he belongs in the room but he'll never get that level? So that's what I'm asking. So it's mashma from the Netziv that he doesn't get the level, even if the support is necessary and it makes that nafkamina. Because this is the hemshich of what he just said before, earlier in last shiur that we read. So he says like this, Me'ata novi li'inyin didan, da'afilu na'la la'das she'efsho limkar schar mitzvah, i'efsho limkar schar Torah. She'areyim yovoy al schora yizba koloin mikovoid, he'll have rather koloin, bizyoinis, rather than kovoid, b'yeshiva shalmala. V'su, v'chi efsho la'alis al adas she'im yechabed ha'melech la'asis oiso ish she'hera gvura ve'etza b'mucham al sa'ar tzova v'hu yimkar oiso z'chus la'acher ha'loi ha'melech einu chofetz b'ikori shal ha'kainu klal v'einu chofetz she'i yoshu ba'asif ha'sorin v'kmoi kein I efsho b'shum oifin la'alis al adas limkar schar melchamto shal toira u'memeila b'nidin didan she'mocha mechso shal kol schori v'oiso schar toirosa lo'i nimkar memeila botl kol ha'mecha. He says again, and he says it explicitly, and he does not distinguish between the kind of arrangement that was made. That schar of Torah cannot mean the Torah itself. Because you cannot sit in the yeshiva shalmala if you don't have a shaykhus to the taksisei melchama, you can't be a general. Furthermore, he says, I received schar ha-Torah. I, because of my Torah, am able to reach a certain level of yeshiva shalmala. I now want to give that away to somebody else? That's ridiculous. Because the melech says, you're shayach to the parsha because you're a general. How are you giving away your generalship to a goyla? What are you doing? So the Netziv's approach is crystal clear, that it simply cannot be done. And then he says that if a person makes such an arrangement, then since it's not shayach, then maybe the entire arrangement, even the gabi schar mitzvah, is not chal. Because it's a package deal, and this is what he wants, and if it can't happen, it can't happen b'chlal. And then he says something else. He says, in general, you cannot sell your zuchus for other reasons that are very technical. So he starts with a whole arichus, as I told you, and you have the tshuva here. I'm not going to learn the pratim of it, but just give you a general, in 2 minutes, a general sense. First of all, he says, there's a yesod called Ein Adam Makne Dovah Shaloi Bali Olam. Something that did not yet come into the world cannot be transacted. You can't sell somebody futures. Now he asks the following question. If something is avidi da'asu, so he says, even the mandioma that says Adam makne dava shloi bali yolam, it's only if it is already bala olam that the kinyan is clinched. But until it's bala olam, it hasn't yet happened. In other words, you can be makne, but you have to wait till it's bala olam. So this is what he says. In other words, the kinyan is chal now, but only clinched when the thing is bala olam, and until then, it is shayach lachzaboy. So he says, if that's the case, right, the whole reward doesn't happen until when? Until after he's gone. So he says that the davshla bala olam, a mecha cannot be chalach amisa. So if you need it to be bala olam, then it can never be bala olam until achamisa, and lachamisa kinyanim cannot be chal, as he quotes in Baba Basu Kuflamet Hey. That's number one. So he says that according to anybody, even the mandiyama says other makna davshla bala olam, lachamisa that can't be. Second, what? So you're asking an interesting question. You know, when you start translating from Gashmias Dikazachan to Ruchnias Dikazachan, you really don't know. Obviously, he's assuming that the reward is granted subsequent, posthumously. Not that I already have my chelik in my pocket. I have a potential for that chelik. I have a right to that chelik. But the giving of the chelik, according to the Netziv, the mitzias of giving the chelik, is only loss of love. Secondly, he says, and this is, I guess, more obvious, it's aimed by mamish. He says, what happens if a person wants to sell air? There's no such thing as selling air. So he says an example, Gemara Baba Basra says, a person was a shchiv meira, he was sick and he was on the deathbed, and he said, Yidar ployni bebayizel, let this person live here. Lo yomaklum. In other words, you can have a kinyan. Even schirus requires a kinyan and a chefza. You can't be kind of an abstraction. Living is not subject to kinyan. The allowance to live in a place means nothing in kinyanim. What means something? I give you the maftechis to be kind of the bias, but not for a permanent bias, but for a temporary bias called schirus. But you need a kinyan in the chefs of the bias. There's no such concept as a kinyan in the rights to live somewhere. So he says, there's no chefs over here. What kind of chefs? Then it's a kinyan dvarim ba'alma. Now he goes into all arichos, which of course, people who speak at Bris Milah, especially young Talmidei Chacham, and now there's a mother that they say over Shtikl Torah from the Gemara that they're learning wherever they are. So I've heard Torah in all of Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. You understand very well that there are three people there that understand what he's talking about, if he knows himself what he's talking about. Himself, the Rosh Yeshiva that was the Sandik, and Elio Anovi, who's there, you know, anyhow, maybe he stays to hear the Dvar Torah. But other than that, the Olam is completely bewildered. And the truth is that they tune out, and that's the only way they can prevent themselves from having a Chalisha Sadas. Because when a person sees somebody talking and learning, and he doesn't have any shaychus to it, and he wants to have a shaychus to it. He wants desperately to have a shaychus, and he sees that he can't, and he sees so he can come to two conclusions. One of them is Torah's Aruch HaMeretz Mida. It's so gewaldig, it's so rich, it's so enormous. Wow, I can even have a little shaychus to Torah when I learn Chumash and Rashi. That's gewaldig, because why should I have any shaychus to it at all? And he can walk out to Simcha. There is maybe one person like that in every generation. Most of the people, when they hear such a Torah, they say, you know something, I think I have a shaychus to Torah, but I really don't. So who am I trying to kid? So I might as well watch television or something. I mean, whatever. You understand what I mean? It doesn't make any sense that I should belong to this if there's so many efforts and so many years, and maybe I was even in yeshiva a lot of years, and I don't understand one word of what he's talking about. You know, so in that then there's another kind of shtickle Torah, which is a lot better, but still, and that is that the person talks about Bris Mila. So one of the favorite topics about Bris Mila is, can you give over the zechus, and can you steal the zechus, and this whole shayla of asara zehuvim, and he brings down a shilte agibarim, v'hadvarim atikim yoid. But he has a very interesting gang over here, and the kitzad untish teshura is that mechiras hamitzvahs, you cannot sell the schar of the mitzvah. You can sell, according to certain shittos, the zechus to do the mitzvah. That maybe you have a bailus over, maybe you don't. But after the fact, the reward that comes from it, that is not something that belongs to you, that's transferable. You get it, but it's yours only and not anybody else's. I would recommend, by the way, that every young Talmud Chacham wants to say a shtickle Torah at a bris or at a sheva brachos or whatever, should assess his oilam. And of course you can't make it the lowest common denominator, that's not shayach. But there's a lot that you can say in a sophisticated and highly intelligent way, but that dafka people should understand what you're talking about and should feel that they belong to it, and that it's the same Torah that they have a shaykhus to, that they have a chalik in, just a little more sophisticated, a little more advanced, because he happens to be sitting and learning right now on a high level. You can make the impression and still give people a chance to feel that it belongs to them. And I don't believe that it's an Indian to overwhelm people and frighten them out of their wits and make them feel totally miyuish. I don't see any payelas in that at all. I guess that's because when you wear a hat of a Rosh Yeshiva, maybe you miss that point. When you hear a hat of a Rosh Yeshiva and of a Rav, then you understand that point very, very well. And it's a very big yesod, and I hope that, at least in my own limited way, I am mekayim that as much as possible.